Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Holy Gospel, according to St. John, Jesus cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit. And from the book of Acts, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. These are our texts. As we think today about the coming of the Holy Spirit, I wonder how we think about the spirit of the time in which we live. We could ask the question, what is the spirit of our age? I suppose that question will eventually be asked because historians and social critics, cultural commentators, and even average people love to look back on periods of time and try to describe them. Some of us talk, perhaps nostalgically, about the 80s and the 90s, such a different world. Others may think back to the 60s or the 70s or even earlier. So as we think about this time, in another generation or two, how will we look back on these years? How will the 2020s be evaluated and described? What's the spirit of this age? Now, recently I saw something that described our age as having a spirit that negates. The spirit that negates. It was written by Carl Truman, an author and professor at Grove City College, and he went on to say this: whether on the left or the right, the spirit of negation, of naysaying, of tearing down that which is, has become our default setting. And you know, when I read those words, it struck me as being true, that ours is an age of destruction, a spirit of destruction. But what is it that makes destroying things so appealing? Well, if you've ever knocked down a tower of blocks, you know. There's the instant gratification, and there's the sense of power and control. But on the other hand, think of what it takes to make something. Making a reputation or a home, making a work of art or a poem, making anything good or true or beautiful, it takes time, it takes patience, it takes dedication and skill. It can't be built in a day. But tearing something down, that only takes moments. One cutting word or thoughtless deed, one slash of a canvas or push of a statue, one swing of a sledgehammer is all it takes. It'll do the trick. That's the destructive spirit of our age, a spirit that may be more at home in our hearts than we would like to admit. If you've ever wished that it would all just burn down, you know what I mean. And so it's no wonder that our age seems to be filled with despair and dis-ease, with boredom and hopelessness, with things coming down, but nothing new or good going up. Now, before ascending into heaven, Jesus promised something to his disciples and to the church. He promised a different spirit, a spirit desperately needed in our age and graciously given. The very last thing that St. Luke records for us in his gospel, the last words of Jesus are these: "Behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And then the book of Acts begins with this same promise. Jesus tells them, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the age." Rather than a spirit of negation or destruction, Jesus promises a spirit that will bear witness. Witness of what? Of Jesus, the King, and the age of the Messiah. And so it happened. As we celebrate today on Pentecost, the disciples were all together on that first Pentecost when there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Now, I know we often picture the tongues of fire sort of floating over the head of the disciples. A lot of Sunday school lessons do that. But I wonder if we wouldn't be better off thinking of the flames of fire in front of their mouths. Because what did the disciples do, and the believers? They spoke when the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke, and people who were there from various parts of the Roman and Parthian empires, they heard in their own tongues the mighty works of God. That day, when the Holy Spirit rushed upon the church, the ears of people were filled with what God did in and through Jesus Christ. That is, his conception and death, his preaching and miracles, his suffering, his resurrection and ascension. That is what filled the ears of the people as the disciples of Jesus spoke, moved by the Holy Spirit. The prophet Joel had said this would happen. He said that this was coming in the last days. God himself had announced, "I will pour out my spirit, not on this prophet or king or priest, but I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, on male and female, on old and young, on rich and poor alike." Just as Moses had wished, as we read in Numbers chapter 24, would that the Lord God would put his spirit on all people. 50 days after Easter, it happened. The Holy Spirit came, and it filled the house, and it rested on them, and something new takes place. The Holy Spirit is poured out lavishly and fully, and by his power, Jesus Christ is preached as the Savior of all peoples, even as he is preached still today. Jesus Christ was preached and proclaimed so that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Spirit that he pours out on his church, the Spirit that works repentance and forgives sins, the Spirit who brings life and resurrection to a world bent on death, the Spirit who builds up out of once dead but now living stones, the Holy Church, to be the temple of the living God. And he is still doing it today. So today we gather to rejoice in this work of the Holy Spirit, the work that began on that first Pentecost and continues right here and right now today. Pay attention whenever you read the scriptures, but especially in today's readings, to the language used for the Holy Spirit. It says the Lord puts the Spirit on his people so that it rests on them and they speak God's word. Or we heard the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. The Spirit is poured out. The Spirit is given. The Spirit is received. What I want you to hear in this language is the way this language is the language of gift. From top to bottom. It is not that they did something to get the Spirit. It is that the Father from heaven, through Christ, poured out the Spirit on his church. The Holy Spirit is always a gift of the Son from the Father to us. A precious and undeserved gift. A gift that he pours out on us again and again and again. Not only on Pentecost Sunday, but on every Sunday. And just what does the Holy Spirit do? In one sense, we can say that the Holy Spirit has a simple job. Through the Holy Scriptures and through the Holy Sacraments, he makes Jesus known to us as Lord and Savior. This is his job, very simply, that we would know Jesus and we would know the forgiveness of sins that he won for us. The Holy Spirit proclaims Christ. He plants faith in the heart. Whenever and wherever we find faith, we know that it is there simply because of the working of the Holy Spirit, whether we find it in ourselves or we find it in others. And the Holy Spirit helps that faith grow. And he brings forth the good fruit of faith in due time. What is the fruit of the faith, the fruit of the Spirit? It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Which of us couldn't use more of these fruits in our lives? Which of us desire to have more love or joy or peace or patience or kindness or goodness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control? This is the fruit of the Spirit, which God pours out on us by the Holy Spirit. And as he says, against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. As those who belong to Jesus Christ, then, let the destructive spirit, the spirit of negation and naysaying, be put to death in you. Let that be torn down and crucified today. Do not be filled with the spirit of the age or with its fruits, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and bear his fruits. For he alone restores and renews and builds up in righteousness. But how does the Holy Spirit fill us? He fills us through our ears. He is poured into us through our ears. It is by the Word and the Word alone that the Holy Spirit comes to us, the Word in all its forms, spoken and read and preached and with the water and with the bread and wine. It is the Holy Spirit through the Word who fills our ears and so our hearts and brings us Jesus. Jesus. That's what it's all about. Jesus, whom we heard in the gospel reading at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, a feast that celebrates the 40-year wandering in the wilderness of Israel and how God provided for them. It was during that feast, in fact, on the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast, when the priest would pour out water, symbolizing God renewing the earth and his people, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus acting there as the high priest, pouring out the water that is needed. And oh, how we thirst. And oh, how we have tried to quench that thirst with everything the world offers. How we have wandered like Israel in a wilderness, often of our own making, in the wilderness of sin and death. But here Jesus offers us something to drink, something to fill us, something to flow through us. As God raised up the prophet Moses to strike the rock and bring water in the desert, so God the Father has raised up Jesus to bring forth living water for us. Have you come this morning aware of your sins? Do you sense your needs? Do you feel the spirit of the age drying you out and hardening your heart, tearing you down and negating you? But here comes a flood gushing from Jesus, pouring out from him like the blood and water that came from his heart and flowed out of his side. From the rock that was struck, the rock that was crucified, comes the living water. Drink it up, dear friends. Drink up the forgiveness. Drink up the life. Drink up the Holy Spirit. Our hardened hearts aren't too hardened for him, and our spirit can't put out the one who comes rushing upon us like wind and fire. And so the Spirit comes. He comes not like a drop or a mist, not like a sprinkle or a passing shower, not like a little stream that dries up in the heat or even a river, but Jesus said, like rivers, plural, rivers of flowing water, bringing living water to us and into the world. That's what the Holy Spirit is like. St. Peter said from the prophet Joel, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we gather today and we call upon the name of the Lord and we believe that promise. We are being saved and we will be saved, just as it was said. And that promise is for you, for each one of you here today. And that promise is for your children and for your grandchildren, and it's for your parents and your siblings, and it's for your neighbors and your friends. It's for all who are thirsty and far away, all who are hardened and despairing, all who've been swallowed up by the spirit of this age, the spirit that would destroy us and everything in it. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So invite people to call upon him. Make his name known. Call out to him yourself when you find your needs upon you. Because we know what our age needs. It doesn't need you or me. It needs Jesus. It needs his grace. And the Holy Spirit came from heaven so that the world might know him and might receive his grace and might be filled with living water. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. The Holy Spirit isn't into destruction, but resurrection. And on the last day, we know what he will do. He will raise us, me, you, and all the dead. And he will give eternal life to us and all who believe in Christ. It doesn't happen in a day, but he is at work doing it already in us. This good work, this true and beautiful work of the Holy Spirit takes a lifetime, but he will do it. He will raise us from the dead. And so the Holy Spirit comes today to continue this work. With all his graces, he has been poured out on us by the crucified, risen, and returning Christ. And gathered here today, we drink him up and we are filled by him. And let's not keep it to ourselves. Let the Holy Spirit flow. Let him flow and flow and flow, giving life and building up and filling this wilderness with good fruit until we come to that final paradise and are raised to the life that never ends. In Jesus' name, amen.